Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke 15. Everybody turn to Luke 15 right quick. We're going to hit there. We're going to hit Zechariah 3. And if we've got time, we're going to go to Hebrews 12. We'll probably just talk about Hebrews 12. I bet we don't have time to get there. But I just want to hit a couple things. Luke 15. Did everybody get overwhelmed with the love of the Father? Sunday. Did y'all enjoy that Sunday? I did. I got whacked out Sunday. Golly, man. Did you guys enjoy? I got telling Randy about it. Randy, his laundromat flooded, and him and Terry weren't here because they were pumping water and trying to get the carpet dry and all that stuff from their laundromat. And he came by the shop Monday or Tuesday, I think it was, and I was back there grinding some points on getting ready for the paint truck. I was back there grinding some points on the big wheel back there, and dust flying and all that stuff. And I got talking to him about the service of Sunday, and I just got squalling back there. I mean, it was just like, it was still just waves of the, I was got talking about this and that, got talking about the video the guy played at the end about the Barcelona Olympics and all that stuff, and what God pressed on me about my earthly father, and I just was a blubbering mess back there, and I didn't care about what any of the other guys thought. I'm the boss, so it doesn't matter what any of the guys think. So that's one cool thing about that. We need to have that mindset in life. You know what? My daddy is who he is, so I'm not really worried about public opinion. I just want to be pleasing in his sight. And if I'm pleasing in his sight, then everything else will be okay. But just the love of the Father was phenomenal in here Sunday. And I want to talk about the blessing of the Father. I just really began to pray and think and say, God, what do you want us to talk about Wednesday night? What do you want to release into us Wednesday night? And I was hoping you guys would be here. And, so we could kind of put an exclamation point on Sunday and everything from Brother Brent Locker and all. But he brought me to Luke 15 and talked about the prodigal son and the father. And I want us to recognize something and respond appropriately. We buried my father this past Saturday. And my dad was an amazing, amazing man. I told him when I was doing the eulogizing my part in the funeral, I said, if you ever talked to my dad, there were two things that he was going to do. He was going to tell you about Jesus first and foremost, and then he was going to tell you about his family. And he just came in, and he had a very, very selfless life. He lived a life of extreme faith, just had a real servant's heart. And all of that stuff. And I tell you what I felt when we were through with the weekend, when we were through with Friday, and when we were through with Saturday, and even when we buried him. He's buried in the pasture next to our house. And we're working on a family cemetery and all that stuff, and we're out doing sketches and coming up with all of this stuff. But he's buried in the pasture next to my house, and the land that he labored on for 50 years. And I can't imagine any other place him being buried. But just the feeling that I had coming out of that, it was two things. Number one, I had this extreme sense of gratitude toward him and toward God for blessing me with such an awesome father. An amazing, amazing sense, just a super strong sense of gratitude, okay? Just overwhelming sense of gratitude. A lot of you, or most all of us, should have felt like that when we left Sunday. When we imaged ourselves and we visualized ourselves as the guy that was running the race, and we tore our hamstring and we couldn't do it on our own. And Father God, man, he came through the crowd and went through security and said, "That's my son." And he helped us, and he carried us to the finish line, helped us get to the finish line. And every one of us could identify with that. I know I could. Because at the end of the day, even all of my efforts, as good as they might be, they came up short. Okay? And I could not get there on my own. And I had this overwhelming sense of the Father's love Sunday, which carried over into an overwhelming sense of gratitude. That I was just so, that God is just amazing that he would love me and all of that stuff. And just really, really overwhelmed with that. And I'm still overwhelmed with that. And I don't want to lose that feeling, okay? I do not want to lose that feeling. But the other feeling that I had after we buried my father on Saturday and just the whole weekend and everything, the other overwhelming feeling that is still just residing on me is a strong sense of him coming in and almost with his life charging me. His life was a charge to me. His life was a, here's this mantle, here's this baton, you run with it, but you better run well. I mean, it's almost like you're running a relay and Carl Lewis hitting the anchor, but he's the pace setter off the first and you're the second leg of it or the third leg of it. And he's done got this thing out there and there's a big lead and all of that stuff. And it's like, I don't need to blow this thing. I don't need to drop the baton. That's how the Apostle Paul describes it, is that we're running a race and that we're past a baton. And I've had this overwhelming sense that my dad's life was a charge to me, that you have been set up in this position for greatness. Now do something with it. How many of y'all remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? How many of y'all watched that movie? Y'all, good movie, great movie. Y'all remember the end of it when Tom Hanks is about to die and Matt Damon's there and he realizes that Tom Hanks is about to die? And I'm paraphrasing right here because I don't know the exact words on this. But he didn't say earn what's been given you, but he said make it count. All of these guys that have died to preserve your life, these guys that have gone beyond, above and beyond the call of duty to save your life because all of your brothers have died in war and they don't want your mama to be a widow woman, a mother that loses every one of her sons in war. All of this sacrifice has been made for you. Now do something with it. That's what he's saying. All of this sacrifice has been done for you. Now make it count. Errol, you got a high bar. Make it count. You got a high bar on multiple generations now. You're third generation. Caroline's four generations. Make it count. Somebody came up to me in the line as they were going through Friday night and they said, you and your brother's got some awful big shoes to fill. And I told them, I said, I don't know that I can fill those shoes. And you know what God said? And I do not say this by a sense of pride. God said, yes, you can, and you can go beyond that. Why do you think Jesus in the Gospel of John came and he says, I go to be with the Father and I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you and I've done great works, but greater works than these shall you do because I go to be with the Father. I'm expecting, God is expecting more out of you than he's even expecting out of me, because to whom much is given, much is required. Brett, you made mention of something. Y'all watched y'all's wedding video. How many years you have been married now? 7, 8 years? 8 years? When I was officiating y'all's wedding, I was just praying a prayer over y'all, I think, and I hadn't seen the video in probably 8 years or anything like that. But you made mention of it the other day. As I was praying and doing some prophetic declarations over you, I made the declaration that twice the blessing and twice as fast. And you know what that's doing? That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. And it's not just a thing of God's going to give me all of these gifts and all of that stuff, but God is equipping me and God is preparing me and God is setting me up for success. He is setting me up for success. He is setting you up for success. And because he has done all of this stuff in our life, there is a mantle of responsibility that is placed upon us. There is a call that is placed on us. There is a charge that is placed on us. That's one thing that I want to do. I know I did it with y'all because I do it with everybody I marry. Is I come in and I charge y'all, and you've got this wonderful gift in Stephanie. Do something with it. Treat it honorably. Treat it right. Love it. Adore it. Undergird it. Strengthen it. Position it to prosper, position it to flourish, invest in it, all of these things. And as a minister, I charge you in that, Jacob. You know, that it's like, hey man, you're the man, you're the guy, you're the head on this thing. So I want to put this charge on you, and I'll charge you that we've got this thing. God has given us this wonderful gift and this wonderful opportunity and brought this together, and now what are we going to do with it? And this is what God carried me to the prodigal son here. Let's look in this text right quick. I know I'm preaching more than teaching tonight, but it's all right. I know I ain't going to get to preach for about 3 Sundays in a row now coming up. So we're going to start in verse 17. Everybody there in verse 17? Jeffrey, can you pull that up for me? Luke 15, verse 17. Everybody, I hope, knows the story of the prodigal son. About a young man that went out. He went to his father and said, Dad, I want to get my inheritance now because I'm going to go out and I'm going to make my life out there. And it said that the father did that and he gave it to him. And it said that he wasted his substance with riotous living. There was a famine that came and all the good time buddies left him and all that. Anybody say amen on that? That happens. All of the good time buddies and the whores and all of that stuff, they left him when the money ran out. In verse 17 it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, I would really like to stop and do some teaching on that right there. You noticed he didn't say, I've sinned against you, Father. He said, I've sinned against heaven. Kenny, your kids aren't sinning against you. They're sinning against heaven. They might be disappointing us and hurting our feelings and all that stuff, but the sin's not against us. The sin's against heaven. That should change the way that we look at stuff, because we think when somebody does us wrong, they're sinning against us. They're not sinning against us. They're sinning against heaven. And when I realize that they're sinning against heaven, you know what I need to do? That gives me a heart of trying to restore them in right relationship with heaven instead of being mad that they offended me. That'd be some good teaching right there. Because we think if you do me wrong, you've sinned against me. You haven't sinned against, you've sinned against heaven. You've sinned against the Father. You've sinned against, I'm just flesh and blood. I'm sinful man myself. I'm saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm still humanity walking in this thing. I am clothed in His righteousness. But you're not sinning against me. You're sinning against heaven. And when I recognize that and I realize that, then I don't get near as hurt and as offended at you as I do get concerned about restoring you into right relationship with heaven. Amen? That's some pretty good stuff right there. That's some pretty deep stuff right there for us to chew on. But that's not the lesson tonight. Let's look on. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he had been rehearsing this. This was in his heart. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what I felt Sunday. That's what I felt Sunday. That's what I felt when I think about my earthly father and how he unconditionally loved me. How he always believed in me. That's what I see in verse 20. How the Father loves us, how the Heavenly Father, He unconditionally, and He so believes in us, and He reaches out to us. And that was everything that you guys were feeling Sunday. That was everything that I was feeling Sunday. Overwhelmed by the love of a loving Father. And if you didn't know that in your earthly father, it was foreign to you, but it's Him, and it's genuine, and it's eternal. And if you had it in an earthly father, it just reinforced what you had in an earthly father. That's what it did with me. But that's what I felt. But it doesn't stop there. And the son said unto him in verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We focus on, and rightfully so, we focus on the love of the Father. We focus on the forgiveness of the Father. We focus on the compassion of the Father. We focus on the fact that the Father saw him a great way off and he ran to him. He didn't make the Son run to him and grovel or anything like that. But he ran to meet him and he loved him and all of these things. But you know, I see that in verse 20 and I see it in verse 23. There's something in between that in 21 and 22 that is hugely, hugely important. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight. That's what I want us to get tonight. The Son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, look at this, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. What was the Father doing in this? In my notes here, I said the blessings of the Father is more than just grace, love, and material things. He was restoring him, but he wasn't just restoring him to sonship. Because if it was a thing of him just restoring him in love, then an embrace and a kiss on the cheek and a fatted calf would have showed everybody, I love him, I forgive him, and I welcome him back. But you know what he did? The thing I've got highlighted, it's a charge to pick up the baton to do as I have done and even greater works. That's what I feel is a real underlying undertow in this thing. Is, yeah, we talk about the love and we talk about the grace and we talk about the mercy, but that doesn't mean that he was going to lay up sorry in his daddy's house from here on out and walk on easy street. You know what he was doing? He was putting a robe. He was putting a ring. He put shoes. And you know what that was? That was a sign of authority. That was a sign of responsibility. That told everybody, and most importantly, it told the Son, now get busy. Because I did restore you. I restored you to sonship, but everything that goes with that. You've got this huge responsibility because didn't you feel it real strong and still feel it right now all weekend and all of this? Dude, I got a responsibility. You know why? Because I got garnered DNA in me. I hope you feel a strong responsibility in that. Because of what my dad set in motion, because what your grandfather set in motion, that all of a sudden how dare me to be a slackard? How dare me to be an underachiever? How dare me to be slothful? How dare me to do all of these things? Because I have got this generational lineage that is in me and released in me and set forward. You know, when momentum gets behind us and starts pushing us, it is harder to resist it than it is to go with it. It would be harder for you to resist your heritage and your lineage than it would be to go with it and let God work it out through you. And we come in and we say, I want to be on my own, man. I want to pay my own path and I want to do this and all that and everything and all that stuff. Well, that's fine if you're not in the right stream. But if you're in the right stream, you know what the easiest thing you can do? How many of y'all have been in a river and you've been kayaking or anything like that and you got out of your boat? What do they tell you to do? They tell you to pick your feet up and ride the river down until you get to a nice eddy or a spot where you can properly get out, right? That if you come in and you get out and you try to fight upstream, that's when your foot gets hung up, that's when you drown, that's when all of this stuff, crazy stuff happens to you. It is easier to go in the stream that you're in and flow in that if you're in the right stream. The Son, when he came back, when he got out there with the hogs and the riotous living and the harlots and all of that stuff, he was in the wrong stream. It's never going to work like that. But when you're in the right stream, it is easier to let the momentum push you and continue what God has set in motion. It's a big thing that I want to do is I want to keep the momentum going and even accelerate the momentum. I want to be a funnel that I even accelerate the momentum in my children's life. I want to take what my dad started and I want to accelerate that into their life. I want to be even more passionate and I want to even push in deeper and all of these things. And that's not a knock against him. That is an exclamation point to his life. How much more to what God has set in motion in our lives? We're talking about an earthly man here. As good as he is, he's still an earthly father. But we're talking about the King of Glory has set things in motion. That he has placed this mantle, not just a mantle, but a charge on us. And he's come in and he said, Brad, I have saved you. I have filled you in the with the Holy Spirit. I have plugged you into a family that's got heritage and lineage and all of that stuff. I put you in a house that is a house of faith. And you know what that is? That's a charge on your life. And for us to be like, what did he say to the Apostle Paul when he was Saul? And he blinded him on the road to Damascus. What did he ask him? What did he tell him? Not what did he ask him. What did he tell him? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's exactly what he said. You're not going in the flow that I've called you to go in. Do you not see me in Isaiah? Did you not hear me in the proclamations of John the Baptist? He said, you're trying to kick and resist and try to be something that is not in this flow instead of taking this call and this mantle that's on you and just flowing with it. And when we get outside of that, then we're in a place where we're kicking against the pricks. That's why I'm confident of those that are not in the flow right now, that know the truth, that have the Spirit of God living inside of them, that God is going to doggedly pursue them, and they are going to be miserable. Oh, I might be, I think I'm happy right now, but they are going to be miserable because they're kicking against the pricks until the Lord brings them back into this place, and that mantle and that call and that charge falls back on them again. You see, the son at one time had a ring and he had a robe and he had shoes and he lost it through riotous living. But God came back in and he said, and the gifts and the callings are without repentance. So you know what I'm going to do? I hadn't forgot what I called you to do. I hadn't forgot those years you stood on the stage and you led people into my presence with worship. And you know what I do? I've got a ring reserved and I got a robe reserved and I've got shoes reserved because that call has not been reneged. That charge is still there. Yes. 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 Sorry, we got a little side action going on there. I love this. God didn't save you to sit up and daddy. How many of y'all, if y'all had kids that you love, and they're 30 years old, and all they want to do is lay up in the house and play video games, y'all are happy with that? Sharon, you got two boys, and you're a strong personality and a strong woman. I love you. I do. I think you're awesome. I love your strong personality, and I love the fact that, you know, when Sharon speaks, it carries a presence. That's a good thing. That can be an awesome thing in the kingdom if you'll stay in a place of devotion and commitment and passion toward Him and His stuff. Okay? But I guarantee you, if Noah and Austin were 30 years old and they were just piled up in there and they were unproductive and they didn't have a job, they know Mama adopted me. There's no question that Mama loves me. But you didn't adopt them and love them for them to be slothful in life. And you sit here and say, ain't no way. Do we think the Heavenly Father feels any different about us? Well, we come into church to have our spiritual feel good. And we come in every week, Jeff, and boy, this worship's all about me. I hope they play that song. I like that song. Makes me shake, makes a tingle back on my neck. Dude. Come on. And I see this, and the most important thing about this is not the fatted calf. That's a great celebration. You know something the Lord told me about the fatted calf? You know what a farmer does with a fatted calf? That's a seasonal thing. He's about nearly all the time got a calf that is in the fattening process. It wasn't like that was his one and only. When we raise hogs, you know what? Some go in the freezer, and a few months later, you know what comes through? The next round. And we come in, and we're like, "Ooh, the emphasis on the fat." No, the emphasis is on the robe and the ring and the shoes. Because that comes in, and that crowns the love and says, "Now let's get busy together." This is not a faith of works, but when we have faith, we're going to be busy about stuff. Because we see a cause. One of the greatest statements that David made when before he killed Goliath, he walked up and he was amazed and he said, "Is there not a cause?" He was amazed at the lack of inactivity that was paralyzed by fear because Goliath was big, bad, huge, and all of that stuff. And he looked around at his brothers in amazement, and he was just a little young kid, and he said, "Is there not a cause?" I hope Alex Passon will spur me into not being lethargic in witnessing to people and trying to lead somebody to the Lord. I hope the stuff that God's been pressing on me, the first fruits on this, that I've been more seeing more with personal evangelism and all that, I hope it's something that spurs me and says, "This has got to be a lifestyle." Not so I can put a notch on my belt and say, "I led 6 people to the Lord last month." But so there's 6 people that know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and aren't dying and going to hell. Amen? Or somebody's out of a wheelchair. Or somebody's not dying of cancer. Or heart disease. Or you fill in the blank. And I just see this, I see this charge taking place. And that's something that I felt. I guarantee you when I walk by my daddy's grave out there in the pasture. I'm just drive by out at the horse barn or something, and I see his pasture out there. You know what echoes from that? Do it right. Do it right. Don't half-butt it. And I'm talking about life. Don't half-butt it. Don't get by in it. Do it right. Let's maximize this thing. Let's make it count for something because of what we've been given. Let's make it count for something because of what we've been given. And it's not just stuff. It's spiritual stuff. It's the thing you felt. It was the thing that was making you toe up and crying Sunday. The thing that was making me toe up crying Sunday and made me toe up crying Monday when Randy came by. That's something the Father's released in me, and he says, "Make it count for something." You know what that is? That's gratitude and that's passion. He said, "Now let's turn it and let's channel it and make it count for something." He said, "Here's a robe, here's a ring, and here's shoes." Y'all turn to Zechariah right quick. Zechariah 3. I don't even have it marked. Let me see if I can find this puppy. One of the minor prophets. There we go. Zechariah 3. Go to Matthew and hang a left. You'll run into it real quick. Zechariah 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. This is a good cross-reference when you're talking about taking the filthy clothes off and putting good clothes on. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan was, the word says that he's accuser of the brethren. He's good at coming in and say, "Well, Kenny did this, and Kenny did that, and Kenny didn't do this, and Kenny didn't do that, and look at all his faults, and look at all his sins, and look at all his failures, and all of this stuff." That's what the enemy does. He tries to get you to focus on condemnation and all of that stuff. Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan," the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, "even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. That's us in our righteousness. That's us in our works. That's us in our capabilities of ourselves. Verse 4, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So you had this great exchange of his clothing, which was symbolic of everything. This was the hug. This was the kiss. This was the Father seeing him afar off. This was Satan accusing and God saying, you're right, but shut up. I've chosen him anyway. I love him anyway. This is unconditional love. This is unconditional acceptance of the Father. We see that with this cat. But look at what comes next. And this is where I just really want to thrust to be tonight. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. You've got the hug, you've got the kiss, you've got the embrace, you've got the fatted calf. They can put a mitre on your head, a crown on your head. He said, but if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my charge, look at what he said, then thou shalt also judge my house and shall also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. That's his charge, guys. Brother, that's his charge. I'll love you. And I'll change the filthy garments and I'll put on my garments of righteousness and all of that stuff. But now what do you do with that? That's the thing. What do you do with that? He said, Joshua, which he was the high priest of Israel at this time. He said, Joshua, he said, I've closed the mouth of your accusers. I've closed the mouth of Satan. I have openly rebuked him, and I have shown everyone that I'm a God of mercy and grace and love, and I've changed your clothes and all of this stuff. Now what do you do with it? God's done a good thing with you in the last few months, brother. I've enjoyed sitting back. I have enjoyed sitting back and watch what God's done in your life. I've enjoyed sitting back and watching what God's done in Annie's life. I've enjoyed sitting back and watching what God's done in y'all's marriage. It's been fun. It has. And I know it ain't always been fun for y'all. I know y'all as individuals and as a couple, man, we working through this stuff. I have to work through stuff in my life when God's coming in and saying, all right, boy, I'm going to gut you like a fish, but I'm going to make something out of you, okay? And God does that. And I've enjoyed doing it. All right, now here's the thing. We sit here and you're nodding your head in agreement that God's done a good thing in your life the last few months. Now what do you do with it? Now what do you do with it? What do you do with it? What do you do with it to a lost and dying world that so many people are in the same shape you were in before God got a hold of you? What do you do with that? You say yes. And you can put your hand to the plowshare. And you walk in a seat of authority, in a seat of dominion, in a seat of restoration, on redeeming stuff, redeeming people, redeeming the land, redeeming everything. He said, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. And now we've got this grace, we've got this love, we've got this acceptance of the Father. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? I just inherited some land from my father. I had some land, but I just inherited some more land from my father that was over there. You know, it's officially will be recorded at the courthouse and all of that stuff when the probate's finished with everything. But that was part of his will. Is everything on the west side? You know, we're the west side people. Everything on the west side of Rockmart Road is mine now. It's mine and Lori's now. You know what comes with that? I have this huge feeling of responsibility, of call, of charge on my life. Steward the land. Be a steward of the land. Be a steward of the land. Do something with it. Make it productive. Make it great. And some people that may be planting pine trees. With me, it's you know, it's producing cattle and all of that stuff. But what the thing is my point is, what am I going to do with that? What are we going to do with this thing that God did? That love that you guys felt Sunday, what are you going to do with that? You going to walk out of there Sunday and go in there Monday and some guy that's in the program and all of that stuff maybe comes in and man, he just doesn't even know what he belongs in life. And you're like, man, that joker's just socially awkward, and I just really don't even like him because me and him ain't alike and all of that stuff. Well, I got news for you, dude. When you were out there jacked up in life and the Father came with unconditional love and all, you and him weren't that much alike either. You were created in his image, but everything about your nature and behavior was anti-God. And you know what it is? He came in and embraced that. So this outpouring of love that the Father is pouring on you right now and drawing and stirring in you, like, what do you do with that? Do you minister to others? Do you touch others? Brother, you know the deal. You're in a place of leadership now. You've been there. And you've been there and met. You know why? One reason Shane Sauls love you guys so much. If y'all don't know this yet, any of you new guys that are in here, you're going to find out something. Shane Sauls, especially when y'all go through inner healing, you're going to be like, dude, man, this guy's tough. But he loves you guys so much. And you know why he loves y'all so much? Because he's sitting in that seat himself. And he's failed. And he's blew it. And he's gone back through the program again. And then gone back through the program again. And he knows what it's like to have unconditional love of a father. He knows what it's like to have a wife that says, man, I love you and I'm committed to you. And because he received that love and that grace, so the question is, what does he do with that? Right now, he's doing it right. He's pouring back into y'all. Sometimes it may look kind of tough. You know what? My dad used to jack me up sometime. I toted some whippings. And I deserved every one of them. I had some discipline. I deserved every bit of it. Ain't a rock in our pastures right now because I got discipline. Part of my discipline, go pick up rocks, boy. Get the tractor with the bush hog and go load the bed of that bush hog up. I'm like, but I want to, you know, back when I was a kid, there wasn't a ton of things on TV. Saturday afternoon, you know what you could always count on? Major League Baseball. Man, I'd want to sit in front of that TV for about 3 hours Saturday afternoon, watch baseball. I love baseball and all that stuff. Mm-mm. We're going to pick up rocks today instead, boy. Because you didn't know what you're supposed to. Da-da-da. You know what I'm saying. But the thing is what do we do with it? What do you do with it, brother? This mercy and this grace and this second chance. And I'm convinced that if we do it right and we handle it right and we carry this robe and this ring and these shoes that God has put on us, it's great to embrace, to feel the embrace and the kiss on the cheek. I love that, and that's huge and significant, but it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop there, guys. It's not just to say, walk around and say, man, I love Jesus because he first loved me and he forgave me, and I got this great feeling about God in my heart. That's good. That's a start, but you know what? That's a foundation, and there's a charge that comes in on top of it. Now do something with it. We saved you, Private Ryan. Now do something with it. Make it count. Make your life count, man. God did this amazing stuff in your life. Now make it count. The way he helped you, you can say pass it forward or whatever. But reach out and pour that out into somebody else. I want to challenge you guys. You know something I found out about the nature of nature? It's not just human nature, but of nature. We got chickens. We raise chickens. And one thing, if you ever get a chicken that's got like a sore on it or something like that, you know what all the other chickens will start doing? They'll start pecking at that sore. And they'll do it to the point, if you don't quarantine it, they'll do it to the point where they'll kill it. Okay? That's the carnal nature. But you know what the heavenly nature is? I'm going to charge you guys right now with something. Is these, and y'all are inundated, but a lot of you guys are new guys, man. Y'all been here 2 weeks. How many of y'all been here less than 3 months? A bunch of y'all been here less than 3 months. Wow, look at that. Okay? All right, you guys had been here a minute. You guys that's leaders and been through the program. The guy that's struggling the most, that's the one you need to reach out to. The guy that got the crappy letter from their wife or their girlfriend or their mom and dad won't have nothing to do with them because they burn all the bridges. That's the guy you minister to. It ain't the one me and Buddy Rowe got all this in common, so we're going to hang out and, you know, just chill. And what do we do with the robe? What do we do with the ring? What do we do with the shoes? That's our charge. That's our charge, church. It is a gross abuse of the love of the Father if we don't do something with it. It is a gross abuse of the love of the Father if we don't do something with it. Randy, do I see it's five after? Let's stand to our feet. One thing that I could count on, I talked to my dad every day on the phone, and usually it was in the evenings when I was leaving work. I'd call him just to check on him, see how he was doing and all of that stuff, and sometimes he'd call me, and he would always ask me if it was Monday through Friday. He said, how were things at KST today? And you know what he was always expecting? A good answer. And you know, when I told him when I had an exceptional day, when we had a big order come in or got a new contract or something like that, you know what he would say nearly all the time when something like that happened? He said, I prayed a special prayer of blessing over y'all this morning. I prayed a special prayer of blessing over y'all this morning. I told somebody, I said, one thing that I'm going to miss about him is I'm going to miss the weight of his prayers. Because I know he started the day praying for me, and I know he ended the day praying for me. But I also know he's in heaven interceding for me right now as well. So the weight's there. It's just in a different dynamic. But here's the thing, guys. You know what the Father says about you? He comes in and he says, how was life today, Ariel? How was life today? And you know what he's expecting? A positive, good answer. He's not expecting I got my teeth kicked in and I got ticked off at six people and I'm just mad and just, you know, kind of, I'm editing right now, ticky and all of that stuff. That's not what he's expecting to hear. He's expecting to hear this and this and this, a good report. And you know what his response to that will always be? That's what I expected because I prayed a special blessing over you this morning. He's expecting great things because he prayed a special prayer blessing over you this morning. You know what the Word says? You know what Jesus said that he went to do? He said, I go to sit at the right hand of the Father to intercede for you. That's why he said it's better for me to go and send the Holy Spirit because you're going to be filled with something. But also, I'm up there and I'm interceding for you. You know what he's doing every time he does that? He's putting a robe on your back and a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. And he said, now let's do something great. Now let's do something great. Now let's do something great. You know what I wish I could say tonight? I wish I could say I was saddened this week at the fact that a 26-year-old young man passed. But I know where he's at because I led him to the Lord on a little dirt road in South Georgia while I was quail hunting one day. That's what I wish I could say. That'd be more important than I went down there and I killed 58 birds that day. Man, Lord, killed 58 birds. I had a great time watching the dogs work. But I knew that his eternity was sealed. Let's do something great. Not something good. Let's do something great. about something good. Let's do something great. Let's change some lives. Let's change some lives. Let's change our community. Let's change our world. You change two lives when you adopt them and brought them into your home. And you spend so much energy and so much emotion and so much resources investing into those two lives. Don't let it stop there. It's not enough just to be Mama Sharon to all them little boys that come through your house. They got to know that when I come through that house, Mama Sharon's going to tell me about Jesus, and she's going to know that I know. She's going to find out where I stand with the Lord, and she's going to do everything in her power. She's going to pray for me, and she's going to intercede for me. And God has made your house. I'll go ahead and just prophesy some things right here. God has made your house a place that attracts all of these teenage kids. And He did it for a reason, Sharon. It's not just so you'll be the cool mama. He did it. He's setting them up. He's putting them in a place where you can release life into them, and you can pour hope into them, and you can pour. It's not just enough to pour love into them, Sharon. That's the hug and that's the kiss. That's the acceptance of the Father, and that's awesome, but there's also got to be a charge in the life. There's got to be a robe, and there's got to be a ring, and there's got to be shoes. Make your house that. Make your house that. Make your house that. But I leave this place love, but I also leave this place knowing that I got greatness on me. It's found in Christ Jesus. And I believe it'll be that place. Believe it'll be that place. Let that be the driving thing. Tonight may have been just about you. And the Father just simply telling you that a hug and a kiss and embrace and a fatted calf's not enough. It's good. It's good. There's got to be more. They got to be more. It's awesome they know that you love them. But they got to know He loves them. And that He's got purpose and He's got plan for them. That's what they got to know. All your love does is suck them into His love. That's all it's supposed to do. Your love simply sucks them into His love. Father, we come to You tonight. We just thank You for this evening. We thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for a call. I thank You for a charge on us. I thank You for an embrace. I thank You for a kiss. I thank You for far vision. I thank You for a fatted calf. I thank You for what I felt Sunday. But God, I also thank You for the robe and the ring and the shoes. And let us be found faithful in that. And I love You and I lift You up. I thank You for these people that are in the house tonight, stirring us, God, so that we can do something great, Father, in You and through You. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.